sports weekend all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Sporty greetings, Nnamdi.
Greetings, Sunny.
Boxing has a new lightweight king, and his name is Teofimo Lopez, who scored a unanimous decision victory over Vasyl Lomachenko in Las Vegas, Nevada. Nnamdi, what can you tell our VOA fight fans about Lopez?
The new pound-for-pound king was crowned in Las Vegas. Teofimo Lopez, son of Honduran immigrants born in Brooklyn. I paid attention to this cat, Sonny. Remember December 2019? I went to Madison Square Garden all the way from California, flew to New York to watch him against Richard Comey of Ghana. And guess what happened? He knocked out Richard Comey so quick, I was on my way rushing out of the Madison Square Garden because of that explosive knockout. I end up falling down. This is a cat that has power and speed. He has the right 16-0, and he can fight, and he's a Latino. We may have a new pay-per-view king. This is a guy that can take over from Canelo. He's young, he can talk trash, he can back it up, and he can fight. After the destruction of Richard Comey, I said, yes, this is the new cat, and he delivered on Saturday against Vasyl Lomachenko, who everybody believe was the pound-for-pound king of the lightweight division.
Lomachenko, widely regarded as a great fighter. Nnamdi, what went wrong for him to lose three world title belts?
Sonny, Lomachenko coming off a 14-month layoff. That's a long layoff, you know. And you can count to one of the reasons is COVID-19. But apart from the layoff, this is an elite fighter, the pound-for-pound king. Personally, I feel he lost the fight in the corner. He's trained by his dad, you know. If something was not working in the first two rounds, you make adjustments. Unable to make adjustments for six rounds. And then you started coming on in the seventh and eighth round. For an elite fighter, that's a no-no. So he has to go back to the drawing board, go back and look at what really went wrong. He just did not have it in the early part of the fight. In the second part of the fight, he fought, but still, Lopez was able to take the rounds from him. And in the last round, the 12th round, was one of the best rounds of the year, really, seriously, because Lopez was able to come back and counter him and push him around and just didn't allow him to come back and do his stuff and fight. So the camp was not the right thing. The layoff, maybe, but some people in the fight game still feel that Vasyl Lomachenko is overrated. He was exposed.
Nnamdi, do you think there will be a rematch?
Sonny, looking at the fight, Lomachenko gave away the first six rounds. I mean, if you fight in a young puncher and you're the pound-for-pound king of the division, how can you give away six rounds and then decide to just come back and fight in the later part of the fight? Some people didn't feel the fight should have been scored the way it was scored. One of the judges had it way off. Another judge, some people had it a draw. But personally for me, I don't think there will be a rematch. The interesting part about it, there's no rematch clause in the contract. If there's a rematch clause in the contract, Vasyl Lomachenko team can then force a rematch. No rematch clause, then Teofimo Lopez can then decide to move on and fight some big, big names in that division. The lightweight division right now is one of the hottest divisions in boxing. He has great fighters. He can fight. He's a young guy. He's only 23. He can move as far as going to the 140 and 147. So any reason for a rematch? Not really. The fans would not really pay to see it. So right now, Teofimo will move on, and Vasily Lomachenko will go back to the drawing board and prepare to either fight somebody else or try to see if they can push for a knockout. Without a rematch clause, there's no way there will be a rematch.
Namdi, let's move up to the heavyweight division. The third fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury now off. What happened?
Sonny, I remember when they had that fight in February, the second fight, there was a rematch clause for the third fight, which we call in boxing the rubber match. That was set for July. And I remember the COVID, that threw things out, and then they pushed it to October. Still, Deontay Wilder was not ready. He said he was dealing with bicep surgery, healing. Then they moved it to December 19th. Again, Deontay Wilder came back and said, can we take it now to 2021? And mind you, these two fighters have contract with ESPN and Fox. ESPN and Fox Sports said, well, you got the college football, you got the Super Bowl. We cannot guarantee you any date until late January or late February. And at that time, Tyson Fury said, I cannot just sit around waiting for you for till 2021. And moreover, your contract expired in October. The rematch clause expired in October. So what that meant was that it freed Tyson Fury to go into the market and make whatever deal he wants to make.
Namdi, it seems like Deontay Wilder has been kind of quiet lately. Your thoughts?
Deontay Wilder has been very quiet. And a lot of fans believe he really didn't want the fight, the third fight, the rubber match, because he was brutally knocked out and his macho was taken away. And the money for the rubber match right now with COVID is just not there, because you remember their life gate for the second fight was $17 million. So if he fights Tyson Fury right now, he'd be lucky if he walks away with $5 million. So he believes pushing it into 2021, January, February, then he can get more money. And if he wants to cash out and get his payday and leave, then he's good. A lot of people believe he's scared of Tyson Fury.
What's next for Tyson Fury?
Sonny, the Gypsy King has great options, man. You know, remember, he still has the television deal with ESPN. He's going to fight at the Royal Albert Hall December 5. And this will be his first fight in the UK since August 18. His last fight was August 18 in the UK. And you know, the fight fans in the UK, they love Tyson Fury, you know, so it's a good homecoming fight for him. Mind you, by December 5th, with the way COVID is going out in Europe and the UK, there may not be no fans, so it could still be an empty seat situation. And on the other hand, he has signed a 2-fight deal with our homeboy Anthony Joshua, which means Anthony Joshua is going to fight Pulev on the 12th. Tyson Fury fights on the 5th. And then both guys can then wait for a good 5 months after the pandemic goes away. Then we can bring in fans. And that's a monster fight in the UK. All British showdown.
Namdi, does Tyson Fury have any specific fighters in mind for December 5th?
Sonny, you know, December 5 has to be what we call a stay busy fight in the boxing game. But I want to remind you also, boxing is not wrestling. Anything can happen. There's no specific fighter he really wants. But what they really need to put in front of him is some guy that's not going to just really go there and bust him up and mess up all the deep, big money on the table. Because the Anthony Joshua fight with Tyson Fury, that fight at a Wembley, that's huge. So you don't put some big lion in front of him and try to like expose him and all that. No, you don't do that. What you do, get him somebody he can just bang away and blow away. Couple of names have come in. And on top of that list is Sonny, I know you have your own comments about it. Nigerian homeboy Efe Ajagba Agit Kabayan, Oscar Rivas, Michael Hunter, and Charles Martin, former IBF champion that lost his title to Anthony Joshua. So these are the names they are looking at now. But it's come down to the last three names. And the last three names is Ajagba, Oscar Rivers, and Agit Kabayel. Kabayel is undefeated. He's fought nobody. So none of these guys can really bring anything to the dance because the fight fans don't really care for this, any of these guys.
Namdi, how did Ajagba's name enter the mix?
Sonny, that's another good question. Don't forget, Efe Ajagba just signed with Bob Arum, and Bob Arum has ESPN, and ESPN controls Tyson Fury, and Bob Arum controls Tyson Fury. Efe Ajagba did not look good in his last fight. If you compare Tyson Fury's last fight, the destruction of Deontay Wilder, compared with Efe Ajagba's last fight, you will say, hey, Tyson Fury will eat him up, have him for lunch, first and dinner, you know. But we cannot forget the fact that that was the first time, Efe Ajagba will walk with his new trainer, new corner. There were things I was not really very happy with because this defense was not there. He was hit with a whole lot of silly shots. And if you're going to fight the Tyson Fury, your defense has to be really, really tight. So that was how he got into the mix. And for the fact that he had all his fights in America, all the knockouts he's been scoring in America, all the knockouts have been on television, Showtime, Fox Sports, and the last one was ESPN. So among all these names I read out, Efe Ajagba had more eyeballs than any of them. And he didn't look good in his last fight. And in the heavyweight division, he's one of the top 10 punchers, you know. So he has what we call in the boxing game, he has receipts, you know. So them considering him, I am not shocked.
Namdi, if Efe Ajagba is picked, do you think he'll be ready on December 5th with a new trainer and everything?
If Efe Ajagba is picked for this fight December 5th, will he be ready? That's a very good question. We're now, say, October is almost gone, really. So he has basically 4 weeks to get ready for this fight. Will the new trainer have enough time to really mold him and get him in for the second fight? He may not. But don't forget one thing, Sonny. Efe Ajagba is a puncher. He has a puncher's chance. Tyson Fury can be dropped, and Tyson Fury can get off the floor and destroy Efe Ajagba. That can happen. People are saying, oh, boy, he's green. He didn't look that good. Hey, I want to take you back, Sonny. When Leon Spinks fought Muhammad Ali, how many fights did he have? A very dangerous fight for Tyson Fury. I will be very, very surprised if they pick Efe Ajagba, because Efe Ajagba has nothing to lose in this fight. A loss to Tyson Fury is not a big deal. But if he goes there and roughs up Tyson Fury and drops him on the floor and even take that title, we don't get those kind of chances. Everybody will be talking about Efe Ajagba in the mix with all the big names. So a dangerous fight for Tyson Fury, a brutal, dangerous fight for Efe Ajagba. Efe Ajagba may not be the same if he's get blown out by Tyson Fury. But everything depends on how he's able to deal with going in there. It's a huge fight, man. It's going to be a big fight. Can the trainer give instructions? Can the trainer make adjustments? I don't know. Maybe they will have to bring in somebody else to help the trainer for this big fight, because opportunity like this don't come. This is for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting commentary from Namdi later this week. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music from bubu music to hip life, flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndumbulo and makosa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the African Club football beat, there's a pretty good chance we're going to see an all-Egyptian CAF Champions League final. Al Ahly and Zamalek both scored victories in Morocco last weekend, and they'll now try to advance this coming weekend with home matches in Egypt. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Cairo, where he reached the CEO of Chorostats, African football analyst Mohamed El Badri.
I think, yes, it's of course delightful to see the two Egyptian clubs winning their first leg in the CAF Champions League. Most of the Egyptian people are very surprised and also happy with what happened in these two games. Being going out with a clean sheet in both games and scoring in the opponent first leg was marvelous for both teams, Ahly and Zamalek. And to be honest, somehow unexpected. A draw was very good from an optimistic point of view, but winning with a clean sheet is marvelous.
Do you foresee an all-Egypt finals in the CAF Champions League between Al Ahly and Zamalek?
I think winning in your first leg outside your ground is something that tells that the finals will be Egyptian, especially from what we've seen from the Moroccan side, physique and also tactical playing style. I think Moroccan will have a problem in the finals, in the second leg, and the Egyptian has a huge advantage over the Moroccan teams.
With this development, is this a sign of dominance of North African clubs in the continent?
North African teams are dominating the continent. That's very obvious this year. We have 7 out of the 8 teams all from North Africa, especially from Egypt and from Morocco, and that's a sign of how these countries are more developed than the rest. However, the performance we've seen in the games doesn't really say a lot about real development. I think it's more about the weakness in the rest of the continent. Most of the African talents go away an early stage of their life, of their career, to Europe, the good players. And we need a total revamp in Africa in the sense of the coaching, performance analysis, technology use in sports, in football especially. Most of the games in Africa are not yet broadcasted fully. The youth sector were not developing or giving it the right development as right attention as we should. These are some of the reasons why we don't see the African teams performing on a top level. But I think again, North Africa has better infrastructure and better players than the rest of the continent, and that explains why we see Moroccan and Egyptian teams in the semifinals. The Egyptian league at the moment is not at its peak. We've been playing without fans for almost 5 years now, 6 years now. Maybe that gives advantage for the Egyptian players in playing these games without fans. Maybe if the Moroccan team had the fans in the games, in the stadium, during those two legs, the first leg of the Champions League final or semi-final, things would have changed. But the Egyptian players are used to play without that support of the fans for 5 years now, so I think it's an advantage for them.
That's African football analyst Mohamed El Badri. And Mohamed spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cairo, Egypt.
This is Mohamed El Badri. I am the co-founder and CEO of Chorostats, a data service company that is working with many of the clubs in Egypt, providing them with performance and analysis data about their teams and opponents. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Arlington, Texas, where the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays 8-3 in Game 1 of Major League Baseball's World Series. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Clayton Kershaw was on top of his game in the World Series opener against the Rays, throwing six innings of one-run baseball in the Dodgers' 8-3 win. Kershaw allowed only two hits while striking out eight. He retired 17 of the final 18 batters he faced.
It was just a great game for the whole team, really. You know, I kept us in it long enough there for them to break it open in the fourth or fifth, whatever inning that was.
Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts each homered, Betts becoming only the second player ever to hit a home run and steal two bases in a World Series game. The Dodgers are now within three wins of their first World Championship in 32 years. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. With more on Game 1 of Major League Baseball's World Series, here is the AP's Dave Ferry.
There didn't seem to be anything wrong with Cody Bellinger's achy shoulder as the Dodgers opened with an 8-3 win over the Rays. Bellinger opened the scoring with a two-run homer in the fourth inning, and his celebration at home plate was more muted than in Game 7 of the NLCS 2 days earlier.
Muncy's on second. I just tried to get him in any way possible, jam shot, barrel, anything, and saw a pitch that I thought I could drive and try to put a good swing on it right there.
On Sunday, Bellinger injured his right shoulder while smashing forearms with teammate Kike Hernandez after delivering a tie-breaking blast in the seventh inning. Bellinger has four home runs and 12 RBIs in his last 11 games. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Game 2 of the World Series will be played later Wednesday night in Arlington, Texas. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, all of the games are being played at Globe Life Field in Arlington, making this the first World Series to be held at a neutral venue. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers six-time World Series champion Whitey Ford, a star pitcher for the New York Yankees during the 1950s and 1960s. Nicknamed the chairman of the board, Whitey played his entire 16-year career with the Yankees. Whitey was a native New Yorker, born on this day, October 21st, in Manhattan. And he grew up just a few miles from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Whitey Ford died earlier this month at the age of 91. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1974, the same year the Yankees retired his number 16. Finally, in African athletics, the Sunny Side of Sports also remembers Kiprotich Rono, who won a bronze medal for Kenya in the 3,000-meter steeplechase event at the 1978 Commonwealth Games in Edmonton, Canada. Kenya's The Standard newspaper reports Rono died last week at the age of 62 after a long battle with diabetes and high blood pressure. Kip Rono also won a gold medal for Kenya in the steeplechase at the 1979 African Championships in Senegal. In 1980, Rono was ranked second fastest in the world in the steeplechase, but politics kept him out of the Olympics that year. Kenya joined the United States and other countries in boycotting the 1980 Moscow Olympics to protest the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. The Soviet Union and its allies would later boycott the 1984 Olympics held in Los Angeles, California. And that wraps up the October 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.